We want to be very special men and women, don't we? We want to lay claim on something that's new, that's bold, that's righteous, that's revolutionary, that has nothing to do with anything stagnant, behind, past, old, smelly, stinky. We want things that are revitalized. We want things that absolutely grip our soul and transform our lives. We don't want anything old. We don't want anything that simply holds us down, keeps us in situations that do no good at all, not only for us, but those around us. We want things that are good. We want things that are wonderful. We want things that are uplifting. We want things that are inspiring. We want things that thrill us to the very depth of our souls. Perhaps one of the most righteous verses that I know of, that I use for me, lies in Hebrews. Maybe you'd like to read it with me. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Perhaps you could learn to cherish this verse yourself. Because I want to read to you a freedom. And I thank God for the freedoms. Maybe we could call these freedoms the wonders of the world as well. And the Word is full of His wonders. You ask, well, what are the wonders of the ages? What are the wonders of the Word? Why, the Word is so filled with His wonders, His greatness, His benefits. And yet, can you name them? Can you name any? Can you name some? Can you lay a claim as your personal safety, your personal refuge? Do you know them? Are they yours? Well, here's one. It says in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. This is a walk of my life. I don't want grief in my life. I want joy in my life. Yet my unending life for you is to help your soul, is to strengthen your soul, is to fortify your life with the goodness of God, which is unending. As long as I breathe, I can give you that. And so that's my joy. That's my righteous stand. And this is one of the most righteous verses I know. This is my stake in the ground. As the Indian dog soldier, this is what I go to. This is what makes me come back day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Nobody asks me. I do it. But it's because it's a wonder. It's because God says, hey, it's your freedom. You get to do this. You, perchance, may give account. How did it go with so-and-so? What were you able to do with so-and-so? Any goodness imparted at all? Did you touch that person's soul? Did that soul turn? There are marvels yet to be learned about the human soul. We talk of time and chance. But do you know that the more time that you put in to something, the more experience that you have, let's say in wrongful doings, the closer you get to turning your soul. Now, you've heard of the phrase, a turncoat. You don't ever want to be one who turns his soul. one who turns her soul. You want your soul to be straightforward, forthright, along the path of righteousness. Well, the problem comes in life with the wonders of God that you've been given the awesome permission to account for yourself before God, as I have for you, of your own doings. And if you happen to stay in the wrong way for too long, with too many wrong things, your soul finally turns, and there's no turning back. If you don't understand me, go into a retirement center someday and view some of the folks there that are troubled, that can no longer turn, that have nothing but ilk bubbling up from the depth of their bosoms, and tell me if I'm wrong. Ah, but they were given the same wonder as you. And so I say, would you like to lay claim to your own righteous verse along these lines? Romans has that to say to us. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11, for it is written, and these words, "it is written," I trust, will one day ring sharply through your minds, penetrating to the depths of your hearts, so that you will never let them go. "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There you have your wonder, a wonder of the age. You've been given the right. You've been given the privilege. You've been given the freedom. You've been given your space. You've been given your independence. You've been given the most intricate balance that God could have ever delivered to a living form. You may go this way, and you may go that. You may choose whatever you'd like in your life. But when it's all said and done, I want to hear about it. When it's all said and done, we'll sit down and talk. It's okay. No, I'm not going to punish you, but we will talk about it. Because you'll probably want to understand a few things. Well, folks, in the meantime, the wonders of the soul can come into play. And you can take them to heart. If you choose to spend time and effort and energy in the wrong ways of life, you will dearly pay the price down the road when it's too late. But why go there? Why cause the ravages of the world to penetrate into your very heartland? Why? I ask you, why? You know, there's some wonderful verses that we could read. For instance, in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 61, God teaches us some of the marvels of the ages that applied thousands of years ago and still ring true this very day. But do they ring true? How complacent are you? What are you doing with your soul? You have to ask that question. What are you doing? Are you still so youthful that nothing matters? That there are no boundaries? That life is so limitless that there is no such thing? I trust not. In Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Folks, the Spirit of the Lord God is in you. Do you feel it? Do you know it? You see, I think that some of us don't anymore. I think that some of us have become so complacent in life that we've given up for no better reason than just to have given up. If one would sit you down and say, why have you given up? Maybe you'd say, it's too hard. What's too hard? I don't know. Out there. Things out there. Okay. But out there is what it's all about. Out there is where the wonders come to life. So it's not out there the problem exists. It's in here. It's before out there, and it's the before land that we must master. It's the before land that we must come to grips with. And so the Spirit of the Lord is in you. And this is the before lands, Genesis. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. We have two messages here. Are you preaching? Are you meek? Or are you so complacent that there are no longer boundaries in life and that life is undefined? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Truly, the brokenhearted exist, if not in this very fellowship. Where's the binding? I'd say it's time. Somebody has to bind. The Bible clearly says that the goodness of God leadeth a man to a change of heart, and it even tells us that the goodness of God endureth forever. So the goodness as the healing agent is limitless. It's the healing hand that is difficult to find. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Just reach forth. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh, the captives exist, but where's the proclaiming? Where's the proclaiming? Why did it cease? Where did it go? Was it relinquished to another? And what other has a better grasp than you on the greatness of the wonders of the ages? No one. It's time. It's time to remove complacency and to reach forth with the mighty hand of goodness and let it touch the shattered hearts. Let it touch the chained so that the shackles drop off. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Why do the prisons exist? We know all too well. What good does it do that we talk over and over of the methods of the wily one? What good does it do? You all could be authors in your own right and publish your own works that proclaim to the world the evils of the evil one. But what does it serve you? I say no good. Not now. Perhaps one day it will, but not now. I say there's goodness in removing the complacency and reaching forth the hand that heals and extending the cup that runneth over with the very goodness of the everlasting waters of God's drink. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, will it ever come? My friends, today we live within that realm. How much more acceptable could it become than to have the very God of heaven dwelling within you with His Son, Jesus Christ? And the day of vengeance of our God, you and I all know that day of vengeance will come one day. There's vengeance that's to be had in this day and time, and you've watched it meted out here and there. You've had your moments of glee, and you've withheld your moments of rejoicing as you've seen it, knowing full well that that is the Christian way. But the day of vengeance has not yet arrived to comfort all that mourn. We know the mourning, but where's the comfort? Are we waiting for one to come? Or can you comfort? Can you reach forth with your words and comfort? Can you not think of a comforting word to say? I doubt that. I'm sure you can. And you don't have to be verbose, wordy. It can be just a few. Wasn't there a woman in the Bible that said, "It is well"? Wasn't there an angel in the Bible that said, "Fear not"? Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Some of you may feel as if you are the fire pits of hell itself some days. You feel as if your souls are being ravaged by a burning, that perhaps you'll never be delivered. But I say unto you, you're misplaced, because your Father God dwells within you. And it's the before land, as I mentioned before, that needs to be addressed. There's no problem with what's out there. That's where the wonders are supposed to live. But you're not taking the steps to get there. Those steps to get there are few. It takes almost nothing. And I think it's time. Every generation reaches a time when it's time to change. Every man reaches a point in his life when a revolution must come along. And every revolution must revolt against the old and bring in something new. Something that annihilates the thoughts the activities, the feelings, the concepts, the ties, the pains, the evils, the brokenheartedness, the mourning, the prisons, the captivations of the old. If there is no release, there's been no revolt. Ladies and gentlemen, do you fear revolt? Do you fear revolution? Perhaps it's time for a revolution in your life. Perhaps it's time to move on. Perhaps it's time to stop looking at the past. Perhaps it's time to press toward the mark for the prize of God and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Perhaps that time has arrived, but the wonder of the world that God has given you for you to give account of yourself, and of course all the preceding activities in your life, comes into play. Is it getting in your way? Are you able to revolt? Are you able to press? Are you able to change? Are you able to refuse the old? Or as the Bible puts it, to refuse, reject the evil and to cleave unto the good. Maybe you're not able today, but I say it's time for a revolution. I say it's time for a regeneration of your soul. And perhaps that's another wonder, whereby God has made it available for your soul to be transformed. Your soul is life, and His life can flood into yours and give you the strength and the beauty so that everything connected, your body and everything dependent upon that, can mirror the transformation. Romans teaches us, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God has made it available for your soul to be re-energized. Another wonder is that He's made it available for you to renew your mind and have a mental transformation. Why He set the stage before the day you were born for daily revolution in the souls of the sons of men. Are you going to tap into that? Are you going to make use of that? Or are you going to cower in the corners of your hiding spaces, wherever they may be? You must learn to walk past those fears so that you're out where you can see the wonders of God. You won't see those wonders in the dark spaces of your hiding. You won't see them. You can't hope for them. The greatest hope you could have is the hand that pulls you out of the dark space with the goal of getting you out into the very wonders of your Father God. That's what you hope for. But why sit all your life hoping for something such as that, when it takes but a second, not a life? Your life is meant to be lived. And if you've had enough of enough, it's time to revolt. It's time to transform, and that starts here. with you. It starts with no one else. You can't look to another soul. Galatians teaches us that. Oh, certainly there's burdens that you can share. But there are those where you must bear your own. And that's where your rejoicing will take form. It'll take shape. You must look at yourself. The man standing in the mirror, how happy is he? How happy is she? Is this what you want to be? Is this who you really ought to be? Is this the account that you're prepared to give? It's your choice. You are the living wonder. You are the pinnacle of God's creativity. He put it all within you and said, live. He gave you choice. He gave you power. He gave you everything from Him. And then He said, when it's all said and done, we'll talk about it. Now man has tainted that. But God just wants to talk. He just wants to hear what you got to say about what you've done with the greatest wonder He could have ever given you. No sin in that, is there? Have you ever sat down with your own child and said, hey, what are you doing with your life? Tell me about it. No sin in that, is there? I don't think so. The oil of joy for mourning. Most people condemn oil. I call oil one of the greatest marvels of the ages. There is a basis of life that flows from oil that man refuses to recognize. Yet most physical health stems from oil. And that is a scientific fact. And when you see God put things in here, the oil of joy for mourning, you know that there is a wonder behind this. And you must marvel at the usage of His words. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, people, it's time for a revolution. It's time for the hand, for the step, and for the wonder of God. Why? Why? That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified when you stand before the Almighty mirror and prepare your speech as you do every day when you gaze upon yourself. Do you see a tree of righteousness? Do you see the planting of the Lord? Do you get glimpses of it? And then does it fade away? Do you see God glorified? These are the wonders manifested. and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. Oh, you look for a day. I say today is the day of revolution. The hand is here. The goodness of God is flowing. It's time to build. Do you have waste places? It's time to build. Is there repair needed? It's time to repair. No fear. Take the step. Walk the wonder walk. Even if the desolation has been with you for generations, it's time to revolt. And truly, the revolt is what does the trick. I've seen it time and time again. And then in Isaiah 58, when you read Isaiah 58, you have to read it shaking your head. No, this is not me. You can't be the status quo. You can't be the world's marvel. You can't be from a mold of the world. You weren't made of the world. Once you became born again, you became a feat of God. You became creativity personified. You are a walking marvel, a walking wonder. You are a transformation. You are the hand of the living God. There's so many ways to say it, yet not enough penetrate. Why do they not penetrate? Because the revolution hasn't been realized. You have to decide on that. As your soul turns, what do you see in the mirror? Have you prepared your speech? Is that what you want him to hear? Where are you in your life? Folks, if you're not happy, oh my goodness, do something to change. Don't sit there. And most of all, don't do it alone. Far too many people try too many things alone. That is the worst choice you could ever make. God's family is that, a family. And he never designed his spirit to be alone. And when and where you're alone, you cause that part of the body to suffer. And pain will always be a natural outflow of that. But it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, the house of Jacob their sins. Man, we are talking about some serious problems coming up. These guys are hurting. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. Let's call it just a group of people that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching the God. These people were real lookers. They're real lookers. They got the face. They had the clothes. They had the actions. And if any of you know me, that stuff has nothing to do with me. I really don't care about it. You can try to be a looker all you want, but you learn real fast. It just really doesn't matter. Why? Because it doesn't matter to God. He already lives in you. What are you going to do? Make that better? Wherefore have we fasted? I love this. And thou takest no knowledge. Of course not. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. I'm getting down to verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? I want you to ask yourself. I want you to say, self, do I afflict my soul? Because when we're down to it, when it's all said and done, and you're right at the threshold of the turning, if that day should ever come, you're right at the threshold. Are you allowing your soul to turn into the bad thing? Or are you keeping it on the righteous, straight, and narrow? No matter what the world says, and they're saying a lot of bad things lately, and it's going to do nothing but get worse, and you know that. When you're at that threshold of the soul turning, I want you to say, soul, am I afflicting you? Am I afflicting you? You have to answer that honestly. You take charge of your life. Are you hurting you? You know, it is available to live a pretty free life. You don't have to look at things if you don't want to. You don't have to read things if you don't want to. You don't have to talk about things if you don't want to. You don't have to eat things if you don't want to. You don't have to work with people if you don't want to. You don't have to hang out with other people if you don't want to. You've got freedom in your life, folks. Oh my goodness, let's go with this. OMG. Why be so complacent? So you say to yourself, self or soul, am I afflicting you? Am I afflicting you? And if that answer is yes, you better revolt then and there. What can I say? And then truly, you will make one of the most righteous verses in the Bible your own. For every man shall give account of himself to God. There's more to be said on this. But I thought that this would give you something to think about. Something to inspire you. Something that would help you feel the hand of God and to taste of His goodness. Something to show you that good borders are good. Good boundaries are good. That good soul direction is good. That good thoughts are good. Good visuals are good. Good reading is good. Good inputs are good. On the other hand, complacency is bad. It's very bad. And soul turning is a day that we never want to see. But it's a day that many do. Mark my words, and if you don't believe me, go to lunch with mom. Go visit with my mom. She'll point out a few lovely folks over at the retirement center. Not trying to be mean or anything, but there's realities in this world that our complacency causes us to ignore. Don't. Because one day when you wake up and you realize who you are that you don't want to be, it might be too late. Quit playing around with these things. Let's get serious about being spiritual men and women. I know you know the devil. I know you know who Satan is. I want to know if you know how to be a spiritual man or woman. I want to know if you know how to have life and peace. I want to know what you're going to say to the Father. That day's coming. What a day it will be. I want spirituality. I don't want any less than that. Oh, I think we could all write books on how to be a carnal man. And I think we could have plenty of sources. Every friend we know just about out there in that crazy old world, they could give any account they want and we could document carnal, carnal, carnal. But God doesn't want us to be carnally minded. He wants us to be spiritually minded, and that's a way of life that we ought to have. I'm saying I'm there for you. I'm there for you to be spiritually minded. I give account. I want to have joy, not grief. That's my righteous verse. I love it. And you've known me for decades. And you see me decade after decade with the same old mouth talking, talking, talking. People come, people go, but that word of God still is coming out of my mouth for a reason. And you know something? It's still not contaminated. Well, blessed be God. And you're not contaminated. Well, blessed be God again. But let's do something with that. Because I fear complacency. And I sense it. And I say, it's time for revolution. I say, it's time to revolt. So when you fear, or when you feel the ilk of complacency drizzling down your back, you shudder. You shake and you move toward the marks of the Father God. He's put them there. Press toward the mark, it says. You move that way. And I guarantee you the deliverance will follow. Oh, the goodness of God. Oh, the goodness of God. It can come from man. And it does. But its source is God, and it is eternal.